It's good to see how the service is unfolding. Yes, I'm blessed with what we've heard already. I don't know if I could have picked a better foundation for what I have to share. So, before we go any further, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you just now. We thank you for this opportunity of being in your house again. Thank you for your word. And I do pray that it would minister to us as we open it up and allow it to soak into our hearts. And Lord, we want to be changed. Renew a right spirit within me, as we just sung. So Lord, we look to you. Pray that your blessing would be upon us as we look into this subject this morning. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I guess I'll start by giving a title. That title I gave the message this morning is Image Bearers. We are image bearers. Let's turn, first of all, to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I'd like to look at image, and I'm not sure exactly when timing ought to be in some of these things, but I'd like to notice three different levels of image. And here in Hebrews 1, I think we'll read the first three verses. Hebrews 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, what we're looking at here is image bearers. Who's it speaking of here? Speaking of Jesus. Jesus was an image bearer of God. Now, image. What? I'm going to open it up. This is another way to get our minds stimulated and thinking about what we're talking about here. What do you think of when you think of an image? I like to break it into three categories there, but let's think about what is an image?
Projection.
Okay. Likeness. Okay.
Form.
Any others?
Representation.
What are some images? Think of images. What are some examples of images? An idol. There you go. Something that is like something else. We are created in the image of God. We're going there. That's what our focus is today.
A rainbow, the image would be of the glory of God.
Okay, it represents God's glory. Mm-hmm. Rainbow. What are some images? We're having good answers here. What do you see when you look in a mirror?
Image.
You see an image. Okay. Think about a photocopier. Comes out with what? An image. What about toys? Dolls? Got the girls here. Are dolls an image? Something that's like something else? Now, in this passage in Hebrews, it says in verse 3 that Jesus, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Express image. How much was Jesus like God? Completely. Good answer. Completely. Is that true? Yes, right? He was God. He was. God was in him. He was in God, right? What does it say in John 14 about that? There was a question. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. John 14. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. For and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet ye have not known me, Philip? Well, he was asking about the Father, wasn't he? But ye have known me. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Just to bring out a point that Jesus was so much like his Father, it was an express image. It was as if you saw God. Now, image. Let's turn to Genesis. This is the one. The next image, the next two categories are in Genesis 1 here. We are created in the image of God. Now, are we the express image of God? Are we? No. We're shaking our heads. No. We're taking a step back from that express image. Jesus was the express image. He was God. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over everything that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God made us in his own image. Now, we said we're not the express image of God. In what way are we the image of God? In what way are we like God? Once again, what do you think? What do you think of? We are made in the image of God.
Little Christs.
We
are eternal.
Eternal. Okay? We are different from the rest of creation in that we are eternal beings. The rest of creation did not have God's breath breathed into them. So we are eternal. Really.
I'm thinking of, our age, it is very popular to
Not in the same way. We're different. We are the crowning part of God's creation. God, I've been pondering that some in looking at this. The rest of creation, God says, let there be this, that, the other thing, and it was. Here he said, let us make man. This was something different. He took something and made something out of it. We were dust, and God made us in his image. And then he breathed into our nostrils his breath, eternal life, eternal, that's the eternal part, the soul of man. None of the other creation is that way. So, okay, more answers. In what way are we made in the image of God? I guess there's another thing I'd like to look at here. And maybe this will be a clue to one of the answers. And God said, let us make man. Who is us? Triune being. Are we a triune being? Yes. Body, soul, and spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In his image. Okay. What are some other ways at that point in time? We were made in the image of God. Before the fall, okay? Maybe I'll give you a clue. Before the fall. Dean.
With our ability to choose.
Our ability to choose? Mm-hmm.
Reason.
We can make a choice. The animals are not there, necessarily. Our ability to choose. Who said it? Perfect, right. Adam and Eve were created perfect. I believe that. In the image of God. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. I believe they were created holy. That's the way I look at it. Created holy, Lamar.
Eternal.
God is eternal, and we don't have an end either. Okay. Does someone else have something yet? I don't want to. Thinking about a engraving. Express image, an image, and looking at context here and the timing, there was often a seal that left an image. That is also one of the pictures given in some of these words. Now, before we leave this passage, it says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now, I would like to make, they're very similar, but I'd like to make a little difference. We have express image, image, and likeness. Maybe I'm pulling apart too much, but an image is a likeness, but we can have a likeness that is not really a good image. You can have, as an illustration, you can have a little tractor made out of wood. I'm not pointing at anything in particular, but Say, you know what I'm talking about. You can tell it's a tractor, but you cannot tell what kind it is. There is a likeness. There is, you could do that with other toys as well, but you get the picture, a likeness. We are also in his image and after his likeness. I had not thought a lot about, okay, how are we in his likeness? One of the things it goes on to say here is let them have dominion over the creation. We look at God and he has dominion over us. We have dominion over creation. So there's some likenesses there. I didn't spend a lot of time. Maybe you can think of some others.
We're also creators.
We are creators. Yes. Inventors. So, you see the image and the likeness. Now, going back to how that Christ is the express image, I'd like to look at a few more references. Colossians. Let's turn to Colossians. Think about how that Christ was like God. Colossians 2, verse 9. Let's get a little bit of context. Verse 8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Now, for later reference, look at the next verse. "And ye are complete in him." See the, follow that down through. Verse 8, let's think about that a little bit. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men." That is a different image, isn't it? That's not in the image of God. "For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." We need to pattern after him. Because in him is all the fullness of the Godhead. Ye are complete in him. Chapter 1, we're in Colossians. Start reading in verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." We're going to stop reading there. The verse is verse 15. "Who is the image of the invisible God?" Here was God, which was invisible, and Christ was the one that was visible. But you take God's attributes, think about God, all about God, and you say, here it is. It's in Christ. What does it say in John 1? "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That's the picture of God coming to this earth and being that image for us. Second Corinthians 4:4 is another verse. thinking about the ministry of reconciliation. That's the next chapter, I believe. But speaking of the gospel, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And verse 5 fits right with it. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who had commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Where do you stop? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. But the point here is that Jesus was the image of God. Okay, I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but what did he tell the Samaritan woman? The difference between God and Christ was what? God is a spirit, and God put on flesh, which was Jesus Christ. Now, thinking back to, I don't know, we kind of left how that we are made in the image of God, perfect before the fall, but what happened? That image was marred. That image was marred by sin. Now, next question is, does that mean we are no longer in the image of God or the likeness of God? What does the Bible have to say about that? James 3:9. What should our attitude be toward ourselves and toward others? James 3:9 says, therewith, with our tongue, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. We are still made in his image. We have been marred by sin, but there's still a likeness there of us being like God in many ways. Genesis 9:6 is another one I think would have some interesting. Genesis 9:6 says, this was after the ark was on the land, and God was telling him how things should be. Verse 6 says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. He made men in his image. So we need to be careful what our attitude is toward all people, our attitude toward everybody. Say, somebody is really distorting the image of God. Yes, but he is still in the likeness of God. He's made. So our attitude toward that person should be, I'd like to help that person be more and more like what he ought to be. Yes, that should be. But we need to be careful about our attitude toward people. Now, when we turn to Christ, he starts to restore that image. By one man, sin entered, distorted the image. By one man, there is restoration, which is Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:22. First Corinthians 15:22. 21 says, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." We have new life coming back into us after we are a fallen creature turning to Christ. Christ is the one that brings us back to that life. Ephesians 4:24. Verse 22, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Verse 24 there, "which after God," that's patterned after God. "After God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So we are being taken back into that image that we should be. Chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." It's talking about salvation in the previous verses. "For by grace are ye saved through faith." We are his workmanship. We are a work in progress. First Corinthians chapter 11. I was blessed looking at all these scriptures that this image and likeness pops up so many times. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. He is the image and glory of God. As men, this verse is making a difference. We are made in the image of God, and we are the glory of God. It's when man was created that he said it was very good. Up to that point, he said it was good. So, creation of man, he made us greater than the rest of the creation. And hence, we are the glory of God, in the image of God and the glory of God. Let's turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Just for context's sake, I think we're going to read 17 verses. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked from some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." There's the phrase. We're renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Just a note there. Whose image are we bearing? We are to be bearing God's image, Christ's image. Even as Christ showed us these things, so also we should be seeking to have those in our lives. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. See, there we have it again in verse 17. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we're doing should be exemplifying the image of Christ. So we can say, it is Christ in me that is working. Galatians talks about that. Yet, nevertheless, not I, but Christ liveth in me. Second Corinthians 3 is another interesting chapter. The end of the chapter is what I'm looking at. It's interesting to read the whole chapter. Thinking about that image, we have that in our minds. Let's think about that as we read. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. I'd like to pause a little bit. Known and read of all men. People see what image we are bearing. Epistle is a letter. Known and read of all men. Forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. There you go. Ministered by us. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. Remember our opening this morning. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when the Israelites' hearts shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We all, with open face, we have the veil taken off. We are, for the purpose of the message this morning, we have an image that is being restored. That's the word I want. Being restored into the image of Christ. Does that fit here? As in a glass, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now, whose image were they looking at? That's a good question to ask. Were they looking at Christ, looking into a mirror and seeing Christ? Were they looking into the mirror and seeing themselves with the glory of Christ on them? I believe that fits. As in a glass, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, the glory that is seen is Christ's glory, not us. Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. To me, that's exciting. We can be changed. We will be changed if we are walking with God and allow Him to work in our hearts. 1 Peter 2, it's a familiar passage, but I want to turn to it just so I get it right. 1 Peter 2, ye are a chosen generation, chapter 2, verse 9. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We noticed that glory that was shining. And here it says, His marvelous light. Show forth the praises or the virtues. We are to show forth the virtues of Christ. Christ's image in us. If you want to say God's Spirit in us, what do we have? The fruit of the Spirit. We heard that in children's class. Fruit of the Spirit should be the fruit that is coming out of our lives. Now, just the last day or so, was brought to my attention a story from, it's from a while back. I don't know how far it goes back, but there's a little story I'd like to read, and I think most of us have heard it, but I think it fits well with what we're looking at here. Before I read that, let's turn to Romans 8. Romans 8, 28. All things work together for good to them who are the called according to His purpose. Verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. All things work together for good. What is His purpose? He wants to shape us and mold us into the image of His Son. How does He do that? How does He bring us into that image? Refining silver. And this is
the story. I've seen a couple different slight differences in it, but this is the way I have it here. Some time ago, some ladies met in a certain city to read the scriptures and make them a subject of conversation. While reading the third chapter of Malachi, they came upon a remarkable expression in the third verse. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. One lady's opinion was that it was intended to convey the view of Christ, view of the grace of Christ. Then she proposed to visit a silversmith and report to them what he said on the subject. She went accordingly, and without telling the object of her errand, begging to know the process of refining silver, which he fully described to her. "But sir," she said, "do you sit while the work of refining is going on?" "Oh yes, madam," replied the silversmith. "I must sit with my eyes steadily fixed on the furnace. For if the time needed is exceeded in the slightest degree, the silver will be damaged." The lady at once saw the beauty and the comfort, too, of the expression, "He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." Christ sees it needful to put his children into a furnace. His eye is steadily intent on the work of purifying, and his wisdom and love are both engaged in the best manner for them. Their trials do not come at random. The very hairs of your head are numbered. The woman was silent for a moment, then asked the silversmith, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" Silversmith replied, "That is easy. It is when I see my own image reflected in the silver." When he can see his own face in the silver, he knows that the dross is out of the way. And that's at the point that he says, "It is finished. Been in the fire long enough." And maybe has more than one area that he wants to purge us in. So God sees us as image bearers. God sees us as valuable. Just a few thoughts about that. God sees us valuable. We should not get to the place of devaluating ourselves unjustly. I'll add that. Yes, we need to be humble, but we can also go too far and say, I'm nothing. We're still made in the image of God. And the other thing, we should see others as valuable and created by God. I think I mentioned earlier that we should recognize others as created by God in his image, and we want to help them whatever way we can to be more restored into God's image. First John 3:16. Maybe somebody knows what that is by memory. 1 John 3:16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." So, thinking about this thing that I've lifted up in being image bearers, maybe it looks like a big thing, something, a challenge to achieve. We can't do it ourselves, that's for sure. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it is God that's working in us. We are his workmanship, and he wants to make us into his image. 2 Peter 1. This will be our closing. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. According as his divine thine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He has called us to glory and virtue. And then it says that we might be partakers of the divine nature, that we could be image bearers, taking on the image of God and radiating that out to the world. So, why don't we kneel for a word of prayer? Our Father in heaven, as we come to you at the end of this message, we do recognize that we are needy creatures. We recognize that you are the Creator. We recognize that we have been born in sin. We also recognize that you are the one that works in our hearts as we yield ourselves to you, to bring us back into the image of Christ, into your image. So, Lord, we give you liberty to work in us, to take that dross away, so that we can more beautifully reflect the image of Christ. When people see us, that they would see you and not me. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.